Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Good. I thought it would be very appropriate to talk about a big event that's ongoing. A lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people have their different interpretations. We have ours, and that has to do with the economy. Of course, the other big issue that's going on is the coronavirus. And lo and behold, there's a connection there. And everybody now is trying to figure out who to blame. They're blaming the virus basically for this because it's costing a lot of money. And there were a lot of very negative statistics since then. Take, for instance, the GDP. I want to put up a chart here about the GDP because it's so dramatic. Look at that last part of that chart there, that straight red line down. It's a record breaker, and it tells you, they talk about things falling off a cliff. I think that's a pretty good description for that. The market and the economy has fell off a cliff. Yet stock market's doing great. The social medias are doing fantastically. So certain segments are benefiting, and I'm sure the banks are going to get bailed out. And if you happen to be in the business of making a vaccine, you might be able to make a lot of money. And so it's where you look, because you can look and see the unemployment rates are very high, you know, and the food lines are getting longer, and there's a lot of unemployment and a lot of spending. Just think of what's happened since people got attention about the coronavirus, because it was very easy to stir up emotions and say, this is the end of the world and we have to sacrifice our liberties. We have to give up all local control. Anybody who disagrees with the official word about how to treat the virus, they are in big trouble. Like Dr. Simone, the woman doctor who leads the American Doctors Group, and she is called American Frontline Doctors. And she and others had this press conference. She was fantastic, and she knew the issues, but she didn't fit into Fauci and Gates's scenario. So she got into big trouble. So if you defy, you know, there are no laws against what she said, and she had freedom of speech, and you can't even introduce that notion about the First Amendment there. She was out and giving a speech. But what is outrageous is that she got fired. And that does raise questions, because she was working in a hospital which gets the money from the government. But she was fired. She was fired, and Twitter cut her off. And she had the nerve to disagree with the conventional wisdom of Fauci. And of course, you don't do that, because in order to have created this hysteria worldwide, and that is the big one. You see that line dropping off the cliff. Well, the same thing happened to common sense. Common sense dropped off a cliff too. And the whole world has joined in. At the same time, they have very, very little proof of what they're talking about. And, you know, the dependency of tests, the argument for vaccines, whether it's a good argument or bad argument, because it's complicated, it's medical, and there definitely needs a discussion. But this whole idea, the science has settled this, the politicians have settled it, the doctors aren't allowed to talk about it, only the medical people who agree with the authorities, who agree with the establishment, who agree with the deep state, because we have to scare people. And I'll mention this briefly, but we'll get into this a little bit more, because I've talked about it before, is this whole thing of coronavirus pandemic. Yes, there's a serious problem out there, but as serious as it was, I think it's been made much worse. And as the dust begins to settle, more damage, more lives lost, and more long-term detriment has come from the shutdowns. And that is the big problem. But anyway, Chris, and you already know this, that when we talk this way and try to get a little bit of a balance on this and not get hysterical about it, then they say, well, we don't care. Well, we do care. That's why we're looking for the truth, and we're going to keep working at it. And that's why today I'm going to have you help us explain about exactly how this GDP goes and drops off and what all that means. Go ahead, Chris.
That's right, Dr. Paul. And it really isn't a surprise. I mean, if you lock down the economy, what else could you expect? Well, it was bad, the worst since 1947. And it's a shame because, you know, at the beginning of all this, the Ron Paul Liberty Report, we were saying, you know, that government is not a problem solver. It multiplies problems. You know, we have this, COVID is a real problem. However, the last thing you need is for government to get involved, and they dove in head first. And look what they've done. You know, they didn't fix COVID, they fixed nothing, but they added 40 to 50 million unemployed. This week, Daniel pointed out that now suicides and drug overdoses are higher than the COVID death rate. And yesterday I saw on Zero Hedge that domestic violence has more than doubled during these lockdowns. So again, problem, and then it just multiplies. And I also want to mention this because we're starting to see more and more is, you know, America's turning into like an East Germany where people are snitching on one another and turning on one another for over arbitrary things like how far you're standing apart or whether or not you're putting a mask on your face. So again, the worst words that you can hear is I'm from government and I'm here to help. And they always do the exact opposite.
That's right. You know, there are three issues involved here in these last several months. And most of the noise you hear and the explanations and the fear-mongering has to do with the virus. And that's way overblown, and yet we keep saying very, very serious, but the reaction so far has made things much worse. But there are other things that are important. The Federal Reserve is important, the bubble that was forming. A long time before the whole story of the virus broke out, we were saying, look, there's a bubble out there, it's way too big, it's going to burst, we're going to have a recession, it's going to be a calamity. So we have the Fed, we have the virus, but we have Black Lives Matter. So they join in because there's chaos in the streets. And they are on a very serious mission to create Marxism in this country. And they are, if you understand how the Marxists work, chaos in the streets is very beneficial. So it works together. Now, are they just astute and know how to join in and take advantage of the chaos from the virus? Or could it be that the people who are orchestrating the concerns and the hysteria over the virus are the same people who don't arrest the people who are burning down our cities? Anyway, they're all three are very important. They all contribute, and they all contribute to a weaker economy, and they all contribute to the loss of liberty. But I think this is a climactic end to a long period of time. I would say even before our last depression in the 30s, all the way back to the establishment of the Federal Reserve. And I've dated a lot of things from 1971 in all this. But I don't think that we're going to just work our way out, because there's been a question, you know, about the drop off of the GDP, and that is, will this be a V dip? You know, and all of a sudden shoot right up again, which I'm sure the president is hoping for, and others believe in it. But quite frankly, I think it's naive to believe that all of a sudden all these problems we're talking about, because we're in bankruptcy. We have a bankrupt financial system. We have a bankrupted trading system. We have a bankrupt moral system. And this is not going to clear up. The wealth of the country is shrinking. The amount of dollars flowing into the market is skyrocketing, which means the wealth that we have that exists is going to be further distorted and further maldistributed. But when you talk about, you know, $3 trillion so far and one in the process and maybe two or three more, it does absolutely nothing other than give people a shot in the arm and they can pay their rent for a month or two. It doesn't solve the problem. But the one thing that I would conclude is it's not going to change. We talk about it and hope we plant some seeds, but it can't be changed. You cannot expect Washington, D.C., with the makeup of Washington, D.C., all of a sudden starting to act reasonably, because they've never understood, they've never studied Austrian economics. They buy into this thing that what exists today is concrete evidence that freedom fails. The free enterprise system failed. Gold standard failed, all these things. And so they put the blame on the wrong things. And so the Republicans and conservatives so often are in the position of being justifiably criticized. At the same time, the Marxists know exactly what's going on, and they see the chaos as a time to move in and take over. And that is what I really fear, because it is the issue of liberty that makes the difference. But as bad as it is, I still think if the people in this country who still know and understand love liberty, if their voices are heard, I think we can pull out of this, not with salvaging what we have as much as having a replacement for this, because what we have today cannot be patched up. It's too much worked out. It's not salvageable. We can't do that. But that doesn't mean that we can't exist and we can't restore common sense, which a lot of Americans agree to. But Chris, we have a major task for ourselves.
Oh, that's wonderful what you said, Dr. Paul. And you know, you are right that this is a culmination of a long time, 100 years, 150 years at least. You know, there's these ideas, socialist ideas, and we're seeing them again with the great reset, as if you can just destroy the economy, capitalism, and hit a reset button, and poof, out will come this centrally planned utopia. It is nonsense. It has always been nonsense. Civilization is not built with a blueprint. It doesn't matter how many PhDs you have, how much money you have, whether you're a billionaire or a trillionaire. There are an infinite number of variables involved in the economy, in the marketplace, with millions and billions of individual decisions. You know, these people, they suffer from what Friedrich Hayek called the pretense of knowledge. They presume to know what they do not know and cannot know. And, you know, how many times have we seen countries destroyed, whether it be in Latin America or in Europe, by socialist ideas? Tons. And how many have bloomed into these socialist utopias? Zero. And that's because it's impossible. And it would be a shame to let something like that happen to what was the land of the free. But I still think we have a fighting chance to fend it off.
Right. And I get the question a lot, Chris, from a lot of people I visit with, and they want to know when, you know. And we know that nobody's capable of saying which day it's going to be or when it's going to happen. Because all Austrian economists that are worth their salt for the last several recessions that we've had have always warned the people, there's a bubble. They did this before this one. And they admit, the Austrian school teaches, that you don't know, because it has to do with the subjective reactions of billions of people who finally panic and get out. So far, there's a bit of that going on when you see the GDP dropping off like it has been. But you don't know the day and the date. We do know it's coming, and we know we're getting closer. But one thing that I watch the price of gold. I imagine I haven't taken my eyes off gold since that August 15th, 1971 event that I watched with, wild eyes about, divorcing the dollar from gold, and the whole world being put on a fiat currency. And that 71 is a long time ago. And I said, why are you worried about it? Well, yeah, it lasted. There was a lot of trust and a lot of wealth, but we've consumed all that now. And now we're at a point where just doing the usual things, spending more and printing more, hasn't been working so well. But, you know, back, the other thing is the stories now we're reading about de-dollarization, and that's important because we have the reserve currency of the world. That gives us an edge. That means we can, we can print the paper gold, and people accept it for a long time as paper gold, but not so much anymore. And that is what's happening. You know, 4 years ago, the two major countries like China and Russia and others that were using the dollar, 90% of their transactions 4 years ago was using paper, or the dollar. And now it's down to 50%. So it's dropping off rapidly, and that's a strong signal. It's also reflected in the value of the dollar to the other currencies of the world, which takes a whole lot of doing, because we're competing with pretty trashy currencies around the world, yet our dollar is going down, and the price of gold is going up. So that is happening. And it's always nice to remind people of what the Federal Reserve's record. Well, since they came into existence, they've been able to destroy about 97 percent of the value of the dollar. In the old days, when a coin, if you had an ounce of gold and you lost it and somebody found it 50 or 60, 80 years later on, you had an ounce of gold, it would be still an ounce of gold. It might have a different value in dollar terms, but it would still be an ounce of gold. But no, they had the dollar and they were supposed to maintain the integrity of the dollar, and it's lost 97%. Now, the most bizarre thing about what's gone on in these last several years has been that it's an open policy of the Federal Reserve, and they've been working so hard at this to make sure that prices go up at least 2% a year. Well, I'll tell you what, the way that people are hurting now, the prices are going up a lot faster, but I haven't heard that they actually canceled that, but that's always been a goal of their lives. And I always thought someday they're gonna be talking about, why is it 10% instead of 2%? We want it just at 2%, which is a ridiculous policy. And that, again, will work its way out, because that's set imperfectly. It involves objectivity of the value and the amount of paper money and how much debt we have, but also it has to do with how much trust there is. But there is less trust now than ever in the whole system, because it's built on all this debt. And when you just listen to the news, it isn't a couple billion or 100 billion. They're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. So they say, well, the stock market's still doing okay, and I have a little bit of money in there, and they say it's okay. But the big bucks are in the hands of the establishment, and even they will suffer to some degree. There'll be some who will always know what's coming because they're in the planning business, but there's going to be a lot of people who think they're safe, because it is going to be very, very bad for us in this country. So my prediction is it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it's worthwhile to work for that time when it's going to get better, so we can participate in it. That's exactly what the Marxists are doing. They're waiting for this whole calamity because they have something in store for us. And that is what we ought to pay attention to. And right now, we're not getting a whole lot of support out of Washington, D.C. And believe me, I have a little experience there. Don't expect any. You have to expect it from people who are in the business of ideas, and people who are talking about free market economics in reality, not this capitalism that we have today. See what capitalism does to it, the Marxists will say. And then too many conservatives and Republicans will defend it and say, oh no, it's okay, we only wanted $2 trillion, we didn't want $3 trillion. Matter of fact, that's on the $3 trillions both the Republicans and the Democrats support. Now they're arguing over the next part. But that's not enough of a distinction to make a difference. There's a solid support in Washington, and it's bipartisan, to support the ideas of interventionism and authoritarianism. And inevitably, as those systems dwindle in their efficiency, they always gravitate to authoritarianism, unless the ideas and the principles of independence and individualism and self-reliance are restored to a community, emphasizing personal liberty.
Yes, Dr. Paul, I'll finish up by stressing a word that you stressed there, and that's trust. And there are a lot of people that have lost trust, but it's always been a mystery to me that no matter how many times politicians, the media lie to people, they still go back to them. It's almost as if they want more lies, and that has to stop. You got to trust in yourself and your liberty. Let politicians talk all they want, but once they start coming for, you have to do this, you can't do this, that's where you have to draw the line. And it always starts out really innocent. And we could use this COVID as an example. Just give us 15 days. Let's flatten the curve and we'll get you out of here. Well, we're August 1st tomorrow. That the 15 days was a long time ago. It always starts innocently. They put on the mask. And yesterday we hear Dr. Fauci saying that, maybe we should wear the mask for the flu too. So this is how power works. Their interests are not the same as yours. Your interest is to live your life, take care of your family, feed yourself and your family. Their interest is to rule over you. You are a means to their end. And as an individual human being, you're not meant to be a means to anybody else's end. So we got to stop trusting them. Stop trusting the people that continuously lie to you, and trust yourself and your individual liberty.
That is very good, because I've argued too that that's what happens, and people say, you know, you can't trust the people, so therefore we want to take these people we don't trust, send them to Washington, and then we're supposed to trust them. Well, right now we find out that we shouldn't be trusting them. And, you know, I don't think anybody can argue now in this country, even those who might try to justify. And that is, there's been a crash in our economy, the worst dip in GDP in our history. So there's been a crash, and there's more hunger and more problems and more unemployment. So we have the problem. There is this argument of a V-shaped recovery. And yes, they will recover and things will get better and it'll be short-lived. That happened one time in 1921, but they took a different position. They just said, hands off, we're not spending billions and billions of dollars. And lo and behold, the liquidation of debt occurred, you know, and they went back to work again, and they had a clean slate. But that's not going to happen either. But what does exist is the question, how much worse will it get? Will the depression get a lot worse? Are we going to wake up? Well, my bet is it's going to get worse, and I hate that, because I think it's so unnecessary, and it's going to hurt the innocent people the most who trusted. And you know, you can't say, well, they were stupid, because this thing has lasted for 100 years to put trust in the government. They've been preaching from cradle to grave about it. So there's a lot of trust there, but the thing that will be decided here in the next several weeks or months will be who's to blame. Of course, if you ask anybody on the left, the Democrats, well, it's all Trump's fault, 100% of it. We hate his guts. Oh, no, they never say that. And we're envious of him because he won this election. And it's on and on. It's just that is what modems. So it's very easy for them to blame. They blame him for the virus. They blame him for the Federal Reserve. And he's contributed to it. He didn't change anything. So he participated in it. He has said some good things about the military industrial complex and our presence around the world. But he's made some reasonable changes. But still, no matter what, no matter if he does exactly what the Democrats have been trying to do for 25 years, he's still going to get blamed and hated for it. So who to blame is a big deal, and it can't be done politically. If you haven't noticed, politics is made up of a lot of demagogues, and that's a polite word of saying they're cotton-picking liars, and you can't trust them. So the blame has to go, and I don't even look for the party or the individual, and I can pick a lot of names, but I see they're all victims of bad education and victims of this deceitful way of doing it, and victims of having this desire to have more power and wealth over the other. So it's an ideological thing. And this started especially during the 1930s, because in the 1930s, they even said free enterprise and the gold standard, the worst thing we ever did. And of course, that was the first depression we ever had that lasted for 15 years. It never ended until after World War II. So yes, they did blame the free enterprise system and the gold standard. Well, they're still doing that. Except right now, individuals that are concerned about this, even in China and Russia, and this is not a reason to make them a bad person, but they're buying gold, and they don't think this is a good idea to trust the dollar. Well, maybe that's a good message. Maybe it's a positive message, disregarding all the other arguments that you might have. But it's deciding what is the problem. And one thing is the type of system we have today is not in free markets. And it is they use the word capitalism, but it's crony capitalism. And I think libertarians and conservatives do a lousy job at distinguishing that from, interventionism, which has gotten out of control. And when you see the expenditures and the foreign policy and the Federal Reserve and all this, there's not enough difference to say which side is going to be like. You have to blame and look at ideology. You have to decide first, what is the purpose of government? Is the purpose of government to do everything for everybody from cradle to grave, which is impossible? Or is the government there to have a very small job? A small job, it'd be doable. And with no bureaucracy, all you have to have is the goal and the purpose of government is to protect our freedoms. protect our liberties and make sure that we can speak out and that we can have a debate on medical problems or a monetary policy. But this whole thing is, you can't even really discuss medical treatment for coronavirus. So we've lost so much. We have to emphasize the fact that the government shouldn't be there. And that is the reason I keep arguing the case that one of the biggest mistakes in the last 100 years has been allowing the medical profession to be engulfed by the government and the bureaucrats. So the epitome of all that is Fauci. He's the epitome of all that. And the people buy into him as being the expert. Just think of the grief that Trump got finally when he realized what he had and didn't want to have anything to do with him. But until the people decide they don't want to listen to the Faucis of the world and the Bill Gateses of the world when the vaccines come, nothing's going to change. So to me, it's philosophic. So everybody should contribute to it, to self-education, to educating family, friends, and neighbors, and being in groups of people that know and understand and want to learn more about it. That, to me, is the answer. That's why I keep coming over, hoping that I visit with a few people with our report here today to encourage them, because so many people are involved. And when I get a little bit discouraged, all of a sudden I'll find out, well, there's doesn't hear people here. They have their different organization. So there's a lot of people out there that agree with us. And I think that's good. That's why it encourages me to continue to do this. And I want to thank you very much for being viewers and coming to the Liberty Report for information. And please come back soon.